Good morning. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing the refrain that you find in the first of your bulletin. First thing I'd like for you to do is to pass the register at the end of each pew, down the pew and back up. Because our visitors are all sitting in one section, except now that the others are coming in and they're going to be scattered throughout, please notice our visitors. I don't think you can miss them in those bright shirts, but please notice our visitors and speak to them. We are very fortunate today to have over 70 folks here to work on the Camp Salkehatchie to repair houses in the Greenwood community. So if they have on an orange shirt, you can bet they're one of that group. So please go speak to them and welcome them to Greenwood. I also want to remind you we have two major events this week. One is Camp Salkehatchie. And if you are willing or able to provide popsicles, take them to the work site or at least get them up to the church to get them out to these folks while they're working in this wonderful South Carolina sun, we certainly would appreciate it. Let Kathy know and get us some popsicles up here. And if you can take them to sites or be a gopher, Kathy would love to have your help. And we can all participate on Wednesday night. Because Wednesday night is going to be a summer gathering experience, and it's going to deal with Camp Salkehatchie. We're billing it as Christmas in July, because each one of these sites, in addition to having needs that will be worked to the construction, they're going to come in on Wednesday with a wish list that their particular site needs, some additional things that would help the folks that are in that particular site. So please come, bring lots of food for these hungry workers, and meat and beverages will be provided, and get you a list. Already some of you have been bringing in used or new, used in good condition, linens and small items of furniture. You can continue to do that, but on Wednesday night you can get a very specific wish list and take it out, get it, and bring it back so that they can go out to the families on Thursday and Friday morning. So come to the gathering on Wednesday night in the fellowship hall. Bring a big picnic basket full of food and hear what's happening in Greenwood with all these wonderful folks. We also have another opportunity for our church this week, and that these two items were heading up the list on the newsletter, and that is the Spirit Singers that are going to be here tomorrow night providing a wonderful singing experience for us. If you saw it on your newsletter, it says it's entitled God Smiles. So come listen to the youth. One of our own, Wesley Runyon, is in that group. So come and listen to the Spirit Singers tomorrow night here in the sanctuary. There's information in the bulletin that you can read about it and the other events this week. Don't forget your calendar, the calendar in the newsletter and in the bulletin as well, because that lets you know what all's coming up this week. Let's remember to keep the Salkehatchie folks in our prayers. And welcome to Main Street. Have a good worship service and a great week. Larry, the time of the concert? 7:30. Thank you. Thank you.
invite all those that can stand to please stand as we participate in the call to worship as found in your bulletin. Arise, people of faith, that Christ may give us life. This is the day of meeting in Christ's name. God is attentive to us and hears our cries. God challenges us to eager engagement in life. His word is ours to receive. The good news is available to be shared.
Seated. I invite you to join me in our invocation. We gather to thank you, gracious God, for those times when we have been lifted up by you and known your healing touch. You have clothed us with joy and filled us with hope. We are grateful that even in our days of deepest gloom and despair, you have surrounded us with a love stronger than all our pain and doubts and grievous losses. Come to us now, that together and individually we may sense larger realities than the narrow focus of our daily concerns. We await your word. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from the 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 1 and 17 through 27. You will find this passage on pages 341 and 342 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, David leads his troops in a public lament for the deaths of Saul and Jonathan. Listen for God's word to us. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekites, David returned 2 days in Ziklag. David intoned this lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He wanted that the Song of the Bow be taught to the people of Judah. It is written in the book of Joshua. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. For the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor bounteous fields. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled. The shield of David anointed with oil no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely. In life as in death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in crimson, in luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love was wonderful to me, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished." The epistle reading is from 2 Jonathan, chapters 8, verses 7 through 15. You can find this passage on page 208 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, Paul reminds the church to make good on its past promise to provide generous support for his collection for the poor in Jerusalem. At stake, says Paul, is not only their integrity, but the character of their participation in the gospel. He expects them to give all that they can so that the standard of living for Christians around the world would be more balanced. Listen again for God's word for us. "Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving you advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief to others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before our time of prayer, I want to remind you that we are doing 9 homes here in the Greenwood area through the Salkehatchie Camp, and we do need ladders. If you have loaned us a ladder in the past and are willing to do that again, just please write your name on your ladder, the extension ladder, the long ones, the short ones, the folding ones, step ladders. We need ladders. If you could deliver that sometime today, because we're having a very busy day between the new building, the gym, and the fellowship hall, leave it there, and we will use it on a site during the week and get it back to you at the end of the week. And if we damage it, we will buy you a new one. But for only one time a year, I don't think that we need to buy that many ladders. We hope that we can borrow them as we have in the past. Please consider loaning us one of your ladders if you have one today. Before our prayer time, I'd like to lift up some names in a special way. Kay Dukes, Hazel Bennett, Clyde Guerin, Hazel McCrary, Meredith Driver, Bill Hand, Charlie and Lindsay Barano at the birth of their son, Reeves. Rebecca Marino, as she is bedridden, awaiting the birth of her child. Bud Engvall, undergoing some tests. And the entire Salkehatchie mission event. Let us pray. Holy Father, We come to thank and praise you for our every breath, for the potential you have given us to grow and learn and change, for the uplifting gospel message that you are with us always, that you came to us in Jesus Christ, took on temptation, sin, and death, and overcame them all on our behalf. We still struggle, Lord. Temptation drags us down and disconnects us from each other. Sin racks us with regret and guilt. And the grief of death and the fear of death is always near us as a shadow on the brightest day. Touch us this morning with your healing touch. We reach out in hope of wholeness, of relief, and of forgiveness and grace. Lord, it's new life we need. Give us a new spirit within, a new heart to feel with, a new mind to think with, a new soul to praise and love with and serve with. Renew us and remake us closer to the image of kingdom life as we saw it in Jesus Christ. Make us into people who make him known. Make us into people who make it easier for others to believe in you. And now, Lord, we lift up our private prayers for those names we have mentioned and for those concerns we lift up only in our hearts. Hear now our silent prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. I remind the Main Street congregation that we have 2 weeks in which to make up the rest of the money we need to make the balloon payment for mid-July. I believe that stands at about $115,000. If we make it today, I won't mention it next week.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources for our every need and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, upon these gifts to your church. We pray that you bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. How are y'all? Good. Okay, good. My name is Jeremy Kelly, and do y'all know Miss Kathy Kelly? I am her son, believe it or not. And I grew up in this church, but now I live in Lexington, South Carolina. Do any of y'all know where that is? Do you know where Columbia is? Have you been to Columbia? Yeah. Lexington is just outside of Columbia. And today, I'm sure you've already noticed, because y'all seem to be very observant, there's a lot of people with these shirts on, the orange shirts. Well, they are from all over the state. Some of them are from down around the beach, and some of them are from up where the mountains are in the upstate. But we are all here this week to work on houses. Now, I have some more questions for y'all, and I think y'all might be able to help me out with these, I hope. So, you see these things I brought up here with me? Safety goggles, a screwdriver, a hammer. What do you use these things for? Does anybody know? Huh? To build things, to make things, to hammer. I heard hammer nails and stuff. Yeah, so you can make things with these, right? Can you tear things apart with these? Maybe a hammer, pry it apart, yeah? What about fix things? Yeah? All right, y'all are smart. I knew you were smart. So yeah, you can do all these things with these tools, right? Well, this week, we are going to be using some of these tools to fix people's houses. Some people who may not be able to afford to fix their houses, they might have a leak in the roof, or a door that doesn't work, or things like this. And we're going to go to these people's houses, and we're going to help them out by fixing these problems on their house. Now, these are some ways that we can help God and serve God and show God's love using tools. Had y'all ever thought about that? How you could help God out by using tools? Did y'all ever thought about that? No? Some of you, yeah? All right. Well, that's what we're going to be doing this week. We're going to be helping God. And what are some ways that y'all can help God? Do you know? Can you raise your hand? Anybody? Y'all are being quiet this morning. What are some ways that you can help God? Can you maybe help a friend? Yeah? Could you help your mom or dad? If they ask you to do something, do it right away? Yeah, that would be helping them. And by helping other people, then we help God. All right? You want to bow your head and pray with me? You want to repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for showing us how to help people. And thank you for allowing us to help people. Amen. All right. Good job.
And now let us pass the peace.
Thank you.
us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 21. When Jesus had crossed aside again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she might be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make such a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this. And he told them to give her something to eat. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God seems to love hopeless causes. The tiny Jewish nation chosen, old Abraham and Sarah to birth them, and Moses who said, "I can't speak well," David up against Goliath, David after Bathsheba,
and a Savior from a backwater town who dies on a cross, and fishermen and riffraff as disciples. Yes, God seems to favor lost causes. Maybe like Salkehatchie teenagers, some as young as 14, and only $1,800 per site and 5 days to fix a home. Seems like a lost cause, as is this arrangement to my right. Or maybe the impossibly broken hearts of some of the people who live in those homes, or maybe some of us today. Today, we meet two lost, hopeless causes. One was connected and one was disconnected, but both were very nearly hopeless until they met Jesus. Now, we all know somebody who commands respect. I want you to picture that person in your mind. Jairus was an archon at the synagogue. He was that person. A man used to others standing up when he entered a room. A man used to deference and special status and high places. Don't miss this. Jairus, the archon, threw himself down at the feet of Jesus and begged repeatedly, "My little daughter is near death. Come lay hands on her that she may be healed." He was like the local preacher, the choir director, and the chair of worship, and the chairman of the board all rolled into one. This is the last person to get dirty and make himself unclean by touching someone's feet. But he did. What a picture of a proud and powerful man brought low and humble out of love for his daughter and trust that Jesus could do something. Now, there aren't really any occasions in Jewish scripture that I know of where healing happened by touching. But Jairus had heard that Jesus was at least a healer and maybe something more, and he believed. Humility and trust. Humility and trust. Maybe I should just stop here. Humility and trust. Can I get an amen for stopping here? But the radio audience expects more. Humility and trust. You might think that Jesus would use this moment of need and humility to preach a little bit at this leader of the synagogue. Some of us might even want Jesus to make maximum use of that momentary humility. Some of us might want Jesus to preach at him in the worst sense of preach and say, "Now, Jairus, now do you realize that ritual purity and what club you're in and what car you drive and what size gate you live behind and what size portfolio you possess means nothing?" We might even want Jesus to underline that pointed personal sermonette by saying, "Okay, I'm going to heal your daughter, but don't forget this humility and don't forget to trust me," and we sing a hymn and go home. But that is not what happened. With Jairus having his preachable moment at Jesus' feet, somehow, in a Jesus sort of way, he felt power go out of him. And in this huge crowd of people all around, he looks up and he says, "Who touched me?" He looks away from Jairus, who he's following home to help his little girl, and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples say, "What? What do you mean? Lord, there are people everywhere pressing in from every side. What do you mean, who touched me? Everybody's touching you." But Jesus knew what he meant. Someone with faith and hope and humility had secretly touched the hem of his garment. She had been bleeding for 12 years, a kind of bleeding that made her the precise opposite of high and mighty, of the leader of the synagogue, because her condition, because of it, she was considered unclean and untouchable. She was not supposed to touch anyone, not even her husband if she had one. She was not supposed to go to social gatherings, not even supposed to go to church. She was powerless, unclean. She had no status. Like some of the people who live in some of the homes that we'll work on this week. And all the doctors she saw and spent all her money on only made things worse. So here she was secretly crawling along with fierce determination and breaking all the rules, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and it worked. She felt herself being healed. But she did not get away with a secret healing. Jesus turned around and he looked for who did it. He turned away from Jairus, the top dog of the synagogue. All this time, Jairus is thinking, I've got the healer going home with me, but Jesus is distracted and involved otherwise. And so the woman who was healed, in verse 33, it says that she felt guilty for being healed. She felt guilty for having grace applied to her life, like she had done something wrong in being healed and she did not deserve it. We've met folks like that too. That's another thing that some of the people whose homes we work in Salkehatchee, some of them don't feel worthy of help. Some of them don't even dare hope for help. And a few over the years I've spoken to have just waved us off and said, no, you go help somebody else. I'm used to it. The woman who had had the bleeding was so accustomed to being an outcast that she actually apologized for being healed. Imagine. But Jesus straightened her out, stood her up, and said, daughter, he called her daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Now back to the archon of the synagogue. After taking this time with the outcast woman, by the time Jesus got there to his home, his daughter was dead. His home was filled with the sounds of weeping and wailing and the shrill tones of the flute, signs that he had arrived too late. Friends came out and said, Jairus, it is too late. You just send that healer home. Don't bother him anymore. It's too late by everyone else's estimate, but it was not too late for Jesus. He said, the child is not dead, but only sleeps. It's interesting. At Martin College in Pulaski, Tennessee, they have one of the oldest cemeteries in the state. It dates back to in the 1810s, or the 1810 or so. And one out of three graves are of children, the little bitty graves with the lamb on them. You've seen them if you've gone through old cemeteries. And on almost every tombstone there, chiseled at the bottom, are these words from this verse. The child is not dead, but asleep. But when Jesus first said these words, people didn't see any hope in it. They scoffed. They laughed with derision. They mocked him. That's the Greek word in Scripture here, used in Matthew and Mark and Luke. It's a word used only of laughter and derision and mocking. Dead is dead, they thought. It's too late. Give it up. Send this teacher on his way. And also, there's more than one kind of dead. It occurs to me there's more than one kind of resurrection as well. I read once and heard a sermon by a pastor named Johnny Ray Youngblood from St. Paul's Community Church in Brooklyn. And he said it this way, every time I see a man put down the bottle, there's a resurrection going on. Every time I see a man go back to school to finish, there's a resurrection going on. Every time I see a man hug his child after years of not speaking, there's a resurrection going on. Or a marriage healed. Or on and on. God acted. And we celebrate at Easter God acting on our behalf through Jesus' cross and the resurrection. Well, the same God is here now, and we experience God's power now, right where it hurts, right in our own tombs, in our own grudges, in our own bitterness, in our own lust, our own temptations, our own addictions, our own sloth. God gives joy and life and the power to overcome. Gives the strength for us to find new life, new depth, and new connections with God and with each other. We don't always get the kind of help that we ask for from God. We don't always get the kind of healing or test results from the doctor that we ask for. But I do believe in life, in death, and I believe in life beyond death, that God is with us and we are never alone. God keeps His children with Him always. There is always hope. And knowing that God is with me does bring both humility and trust. There are those who scoff at humility and trust before God. There are those who scoff and laugh at the very idea of following Jesus or the name Christian. And they may see all religion as pie in the sky and as naive, unsophisticated. But we are those who know that the high and the low, the archon of the synagogue and the woman sneaking a touch of the hem of his garment, the high and the low, Jesus pays attention to and stops and offers love and hope when most people have given up to the blue blood and to the outcast bleeding. Jesus is there, willing to respond to one who reaches out with humility and trust. To the little girl, Jesus said, "Get up." To the astonished parents whose eyes were wide and jaws were dropped, Jesus simply said as he walked out the door, "Give her something to eat." Apparently it makes you hungry to have been dead. Give her something to eat. Why is it that our church is hosting Salkehatchee? Because Jesus has stood us up and dusted us off and said, "You are not an outcast. You are not alone. You are not hopeless. You need not stay broken. You know my healing touch. Now go share it with others." And why is it that we are working so diligently to pay off our debt? Because Jesus has stood us up and dusted us off and said, "Create a safe place to learn and to worship and to teach and to build up and send forth servants and disciples in my name." In some way or ways, Jesus has said to all of us, "Get up." Some are only looking up. Some of us are only up on one knee. But we are here today. And we are not hopeless. And we are not arrogant. And we are not apologizing for having been healed. We know that Jesus has stopped and noticed us, and we feel a shalom, a peace, a healing in our hearts. We are here to begin to grow and to grow further from faith to deeper faith. We are here to celebrate our healed hearts and our eternal hope. We are being healed, and we have that hope. And we are to go share it with others who are lost in the crowd. One of the ways in one of our small groups is those who make our prayer shawls, which we will have prayer shawls to give to each home, each of the 9 homes for Salkehatchee. Now, those prayer shawls are coming from Lawrenceville, Georgia. Ours will be going to Bamberg, to the Salkehatchee camp where our young people will go. So we have prayer shawls aplenty for here in local concerns, and for the Salkehatchee folks here, and for the Salkehatchee folks in Bamberg. Now, before we begin our final hymn, I want to invite you, any of you, whether you're visiting today or members or not, to come forward and just sort of stream around, lay hands upon these prayer shawls, pray on them one at a time if you wish, and whoever happens to be up here when we close the hymn will have a final blessing at that time before our benediction and leaving. So let us stand and sing, and I invite you to come forward to pray over these prayer shawls that will be given to others. Number 369. before our blessing prayer, I'll ask those who are up here just to sort of spread out over all the shawls. I think we have about enough hands to touch each one. Let us bow and pray together. Holy Father, living Lord and guiding Spirit, we pray your special grace upon these shawls made with loving effort. May they warm and comfort. May they enfold and embrace. May these shawls be a mantle of safe haven, a sacred place of security and wholeness. Sustain and embrace in good times as well as difficult times. May those who receive these shawls be cradled in hope, kept in joy and grace and peace and wrapped in love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.